Here is That Which Is with John Morton. That Which Is presented by MSIA, the Movement of Spiritual Inner Awareness, a movement dedicated to awakening the spiritual heart within each of us. John Morton is the spiritual director of MSIA. He has given seminars and workshops worldwide for MSIA, for the Institute for Individual and World Peace, and for other organizations dedicated to improving people's lives. This program is entitled, Who is the One? Right after John Morton speaks, we'll tell you how you can obtain more information about John Morton and MSIA.
I did want to share something with you, one of the Dear John letters that I get. And I get quite a few. And it's kind of long, but just bear with me. I find there's quite a bit of information that applies to all of us, regardless of where we are in the movement of spiritual inner awareness. This one starts out, Dear Traveler. So I'll put my hand on that. And you can put your hand on that too, because when you're an initiate and you're studying towards initiation, if that's the way it's working for you, then you get in the line of the traveler, and there's a way that consciousness starts being more and more active, so that what it is starts becoming something that's more and more about who you are. Nonetheless, there is a way of anchoring that consciousness that I personally take responsibility for, and John Roger continues to hold a kind of anchor. I don't quite know how to term it for you, but it really still is holding and preparing what I'm doing. And I'm real thankful about that. That's something that I thank God, Christ, and the lottery, or however it happened, that he's still here physically. We recently were reflecting a little bit about when I first got the keys way back in 1988. And at that time, however that affected him, he ended up in the hospital and was considering that it just might affect him, so he left. I mean, we left the planet, like died, transitioned, and I realized I didn't have much control over that as much as I might want it otherwise, and asked for a whole lot of other people to pray and put that into whatever hopper God might have available to hold him here. I also realized that it really was something that God takes charge of, and maybe Jer has a little influence on it too. In any case, he went through that and managed to hang out. And at that time, I started getting prepared, you know, that at some point, Jer might not be around to hold this focus. And every once in a while, I just say something about that in situations like this, where other people can at least consider it. And then, you know, we get various responses like, well, are you saying Jer is about to leave the planet or anything like that? No, I'm just bringing it up that it's something that could occur. I might go before him. You know, you have to consider that too. That would be interesting. Or maybe we just go at the same time. That could be really interesting. You go, oh, I never thought of that. And, you know, but there's all kinds of combinations that are working and how things come about. But while I'm here, let me address what this person asked, Dear Traveler. After having a number of discussions with a coworker, I asked him if he had any written material which would provide an overview of the spirit concept he had described. He gave me John Rogers' book, Passage in the Spirit. I read the book, and then I read it to my wife. She asked me if I believed what I was reading. I told her I was unsure as yet, but was intrigued. I had read nothing that conflicted with my basic beliefs, but the book had already clarified so many mysteries: the Holy Trinity, predestination, reincarnation, the Holy Spirit, that I wanted to learn more. I understood the question, though. I was in law enforcement for 21 years, beginning in 1965, the era of the love child and the hippie. Maybe some of you were part of that era. I had been exposed to many behaviors and beliefs, including a number of offbeat cults and devil worshipers. I was on guard against getting sucked into something like that. I kept looking for clues of such learnings in the book, but saw just the opposite: the protection of the light, the need to check things out, the references to God, Jesus, and the Holy Spirit, and the warnings to be on guard against evil. These positive phrases were bolstered by my admiration for my friend. I see him as a flawed human being, like the rest of us, but he's very bright, and I've never met a person who strikes me as more honest and conscientious. If he buys this, I told her, it makes me want to check it out. I finished Passage into Spirit on October 2nd and discussed it with my friend the next day. He described how to ask for the protection of the light and demonstrated the NI Hue chant. I started spiritual exercises at 3 a.m. on Saturday, October 5th. Maybe some of you were doing it at that time. It's a good time. I was awed by the experience. After chanting for a time, a sudden flood of purple light delighted and amazed me. Upon wondering if it was my imagination, I was immediately returned to blackness. Don't change that dial. I remember hearing that when I was a kid. This too amazed me. Later, the purple light returned, as I guess you already know. Again, I second-guessed myself. Again, I was plunged into total blackness. Wow. That morning, my wife and I drove to Prana. I still had lingering questions about hippie communes and cults, and I wanted to see Prana. Now, that sounds like there's a direct relationship there, but keep listening. Our first impression of the structure was that it seemed anything but a hippie commune. But he wanted to see more, or we wanted to see more. We entered the grounds when the gate opened for a car. We walked only as far as the side portico before being greeted most pleasantly by a young lady who introduced herself. She politely informed my wife that no smoking is allowed on the grounds. More good impressions. I was happy to learn that smoking was not allowed because that gave me an indication that drugs would be taboo too. My wife and I immediately liked her, and both her welcoming smile and demeanor and her desire to be of service won us over. She gave us and another young man a tour of the mansion. Okay, so if it's not a hippie commune, it might as well be a mansion, that's fine. And grounds, and introduced us to the various employees we encountered. All were very pleasant, and all left us with good impressions. She asked how we had learned of MSIA. She lit up when I mentioned my friend's name, saying she knows him and his parents. She did not recognize the name mentioned by our fellow visitor. That underscored my belief that she was telling the truth when she said, "She knows my friend." Upon leaving, I told my wife that a large part of my concerns had melted away that morning. My wife agreed. She, too, had been favorably impressed. I was eager to continue the morning spiritual exercises, and I set the alarm each day for 3 or 4 a.m., depending on whether I worked that day. I also tried other times of the day and missed 2 days. Subsequent spiritual exercises brought a variety of results, from sensing very little to being treated to incredible light shows, goosebumps, and joy. It seems the more energy I put into it, so out of the babe's mouths here, somebody brand new is telling us, it seems the more energy I put into it and the more I pray during the session, the greater the response. what a wonderful feeling it is to receive immediate feedback that one's efforts and prayers have been acknowledged by the Almighty. I have purchased the first year's Soul Awareness Discourses and have read the first month's book, Introduction into Light. I read it first to myself and then to my wife. At the outset, I had also described my spiritual exercise experiences and read some of my journal entries to her. I saw in the literature, however, that that's discouraged. It makes sense. There are sacred matters and should be treated as such. I've stopped that part. I want to do this the right way. I wonder, however, if there is a way to help my wife. She's beginning to get excited about spirit and has been enjoyable discussing it. It has been enjoyable discussing it with her. And if you're listening, whoever wrote this letter, yes, there is a way to help your wife. Introduction into Light in particular struck a familiar chord inside her, and she responded very enthusiastically. I was encouraged and would appreciate some advice in this matter. My friend says some items are considered public and some are considered private. I will continue to share with her only those things I believe to be public, unless you suggest another course. It depends on how much you want to share the karma. If you're already sharing the karma a great deal, which people who are married do, then sharing the information that's in seminar tapes and books is probably not going to be any different than if you don't share it. But if you really want to maximize the opportunity for the spirit to work with you as much as possible, it won't violate you. So if it has to stop because the way the information is affecting whoever you're reading it to, or whoever you're sharing it with, then it will do that. And you might wonder, well, why did this great purple light suddenly go black? It's like, well, the spirit's not going to violate your consciousness. If you say no, then it has a way of reflecting that to you, that you're creating it in a way that goes no. In addition to the Soul Awareness Discourses, I have purchased several other books and tapes, including 6 copies of Passage into Spirit, to introduce members of my family to MSIA when they seem ready. That's up to you. My mother and a sister have already requested copies. I am halfway through Journey of a Soul and have yet to read Awakening into the Light and the Christ Within and the Disciples of Christ with the Cosmic Christ Calendar. We have a lot of materials. He hasn't got to nearly the surface that's available here. All of these books appear to be good next steps for the novice. They're good next steps for whatever. If you're doing this thing we call MSIA, all these things provide you with support. Please let me know if there are certain others I should read next. Any of them will do. So yes, any of them will do. So if you want more information, then it's in the books, it's in the tapes, it's in the classes, it's in the courses that we do, it's in the gatherings that we do. Even when there's just you, the seminar leader, and nobody shows up, it's in that gathering because the spirit shows up. You might say, well, I thought it was just when two or more are gathered. Well, there's your basic self, there's your high self, there's those who are watching over you. So you just have to ask yourself which two it is. I am deeply encouraged. I feel happier, more loving, and more God, spirit, soul focused than ever in my life. This is no accident, this statement. If you want to know, if you're new here in some way, if you're old here in some way, if you want to know what we're doing, if you do what we're doing, you will be deeply encouraged, because that's what happens when you move the Spirit. It brings courage, it brings strength, it brings the light, it brings what you're looking for. It dispels what you're not looking for, what doesn't work for you. What happens as a result? I feel happier, more loving, more God, Spirit, soul focused than ever in my life. That's the movement of spiritual inner awareness. This is testimony. I am committed to studying toward initiation. Yes, you are. But who committed you? So we get in quite an argument. Like, he could say, well, I did. I'm the one who did the commitment. It's like, well, who allowed you to be committed? Who's that? Who prepared the way? Whoever holds that place that you can commit to. That's your partner. And I pray for the protection of the light. You're smart, because that will allow you greater access than what your ability and your involvement would allow. Protection is there to let you go deeper, to have greater experiences. So asking for that protection, asking for the highest good, will prepare you to receive more and to have deeper experiences. When you call in the light, be sure to make it a conscious experience. You might say, well, what are you talking about? Well, don't make it something that's just purely mechanical, like reciting some prayer, but you don't put your consciousness into it. You just, mouth the words. And mouthing can go on inside your mind. My ultimate goal, this is good, is to transcend to soul this lifetime. That's what we offer here. That's what I came here for. That's what I'm doing this for. That's why I went to JR's place. And it led to this. And then his last part is, if possible. My ultimate goal is to transcend the soul this lifetime, if possible. Well, that means it's in God's hands, and you're correct, it is. But it has a whole lot to do with choosing back. You've been chosen. If you're hearing me speak to you now, you have been chosen. So now the opportunity is to choose back. Oh, I already chose. Well, that's a nice idea, but it doesn't work in this world. What works here is taking responsibility, keeping yourself active. So just because you're initiated, and as JR has said a number of times, he could initiate a dog. I think he has. I've seen his dogs, and they're some of the sharpest individuals I've seen. So, which doesn't necessarily mean that because you've been initiated, you're necessarily a sharp individual. But it's a good idea, if you get the point. Okay, I had to do that one. I was just right there, delivering my lines. Sincerely, you wanted to let me know, or maybe that's just the way he always finishes his letters. And he signed his name. You may have noticed that while I was reading the letter and responding to it in my own way, that you had an experience of something happening with your own movement of spiritual inner awareness, such that if you considered again, as I invited you to do earlier, that you could be somewhere else, you could be doing something else. And just to remind you that the world will afford you lots of opportunities to do something other than this direct line to God we call the movement of spiritual inner awareness. Every once in a while, somebody questions it. That's kind of like all the time. Like once, and it keeps going. And in the questioning is a form of doubting or a form of fear, a form of negativity, denial, illusion, and all the rest. It doesn't really matter because what it is isn't dependent nor even affected by any of that. And you have the power and the authority to make the choice back. Once the choice is yours because of however God sets that up, by the way, it was set up in the beginning, and when you're prepared, when you're ready to make that choice, then it's given to you. Just consider that you wouldn't be listening. You wouldn't be here. You wouldn't be watching if that's how you register this, if it wasn't already prepared, if it wasn't a choice that is yours to make. So then if it's your choice to make, what does the doubt do for you? Nothing. I was having some dear friends, including John Roger, work with me last night to clarify my consciousness, to assist me to be more aligned in who I am. Now, there's a part of me that says, well, I'm already aligned. I'm already who I am. Why do I need any clarification? But that's not a very smart part of me. The smart part of me showed up just in case any kind of clarification could be done that I make myself available. And I've learned over the years that John Roger has a way of making things available that work for me. So one of the smarter things I've been doing is making myself available to whatever he's doing and involved in and presenting. So in the process of making myself available for further clarification, you know, there were some things that were pointed out to me that I got were really important to remind myself of, to reignite my consciousness of the awareness. And one of them was that there's a kind of choice that isn't a choice. I'm just going to let that seep in a bit because I would expect the mind would say, that doesn't quite make sense. What do you mean there's a choice that isn't a choice? Well, there's a choice that's an absolute. And so even if you deny it, you can't do that. The power to deny it isn't afforded you. So if you think you have the choice to deny it, that's, let's say at best, an illusion. But it's not really possible. But the exercise of denying it, the exercise of entering into the illusion, entertaining it, gives you an experience of what that is. So think about that. It's not an order, but I'm, let's say, inviting you to think about that, that if you entertain illusion, where does that lead? It leads to more experience of an illusion. What is that? It's something that shadows or mimics or gives an impression or reflects on the source, but isn't that. What is it? Well, it goes to the nothingness from which it came. So exercising your energy, your creativity towards something that is nothing. Have you ever noticed that in math, if you multiply any number, anything that has substance, by zero, what does it end up being? Zero. It equals zero. So why would you want to get involved in something where you're going after substance, where you're trying to make greater things happen for yourself that ends up in zero? Well, if you're being smart, you wouldn't do that to yourself. It's like a waste. But you know what? Multiplying one by a zero, what happens to the one? Does it become a zero? No, it's still there. It's just the equal sign goes to zero. Let me, just in case you need this, Let's do something simple like one. And then this will be something called multiplication, trying to make this more than what it is, greater. And then you take this and it gets over here and it's like, well, it led to zero, but see, the one is still what it is. In a way, it didn't go anywhere. My evidence, it's still right here. It didn't go anywhere. And what it is remains. So what you are remains, even when you get involved in things that are zero or nothing and meaningless. What happens in the process? Well, that's where the God factor comes in. You go, hey, what's the God factor? I'm glad you asked. Because when God gets involved in whatever we're doing, we get increased all the time. We arrived here the other night kind of late, here being San Francisco area. And we went into a place that was open to get something to eat. And the waitress took us to task. I said, the waitress took us to task. You know, we were there to get her to get us some food, and she was there to ask us a bunch of questions about what we're doing and what we're involved in. And it was really fun to watch how that all interchanged and got onto talking about God and talking about the Lord. And I was having amusement. Like, who are you? Who is this one who's asking these questions at this hour? After midnight. And I just realized, like you, it's the one who always asks the questions. And forever the answer is, you are my beloved. You are my children. I'm with you always. This is the day the Lord has prepared. In me, in you, in this house, we serve the Lord. Beirush Beishan.
John Morton's closing words were Beirush Beishan, which means the blessings already are. The blessings, the ideas, and the concepts which you've heard are just a small part of the abundance of material John Morton has shared with us over the years. If you would like a free book, Journey of a Soul, call this number, 1-800-899-2665. You can send email to servicedesk@msia.org or write to That Which Is, Post Office Box 513935, Los Angeles, California, zip code 90051-1935. This has been That Which Is with John Morton. Thanks for joining us.